What a beautiful message. I want to thank you, Brother Dahlman, the folks of this church, for allowing me the privilege. I want to thank Brother Schaefer for allowing me to fill in the pulpit in his absence. I was a pastor for many years. When God calls you to a ministry, you take that seriously. You don't take it lightly. And so when you allow someone to take that place that God has called you to, that's a very privileged position. And I am very, very humbled and grateful and feel honored that you have allowed me to do this today. So thank you very, very much. And I hope that I can be a blessing to you today. The title of my message is Many Blind People. Our text will be found in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Before we begin this morning, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father God, I come before you. Dear Heavenly Father, I look to you and I seek your face. Oh Lord, I thank you for the songs, the hymns that we have sung in preparation that have uplifted your name and testified of your grace. I pray that God, our hearts are now ready for your word. I pray that God, you would use me as your servant to give your word out that you want according to your will. I pray that you'll give us attentive minds and willing hearts, ready to listen to the Holy Spirit and ready to respond according to your will, God, and that we will do what you want us to do, God. I pray that you will get the glory and the honor for it all, and we thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Fanny Crosby was one of the greatest and most beloved hymn writers of all time. She was blind from the time she was a small child. And in her hymn, My Savior First of All, she pens the following words in the chorus. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. You know, I could read that, but that's something you just have to sing. The meaning of that is so profound when you think about a woman who was blind virtually all her life, and yet she saw Jesus probably more clearly than most people did. She says in that hymn, when she goes to heaven, she's going to see his smiling face first. But how is she going to recognize Jesus and know him? By the prints of the nails. She's going to recognize him as her Savior, who suffered and died for her, who gave his life for her, who paid the price for her. That's how she's going to know him. When she has those eyes, the first thing she's going to notice are the hands and the scars that he's going to bear for all eternity, showing to us what he did for us. Now that's seeing Jesus. And in John chapter 9, we have a story of a blind man. You said, well, I don't see many blind people in this story. Well, if you look very closely at John chapter 9, you're going to see many blind people. Blind for various reasons, blind to one extent or another. And you're going to see how Jesus is trying to open their eyes. And he's trying to get them to see the truth of who he is. And he wants us to see the truth of who he is. He wants to open us to open our eyes and to see him for who he is and what he has done for us. And so we want to go to John chapter 9. And it says in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, and of course Jesus did nothing by accident. And so it's not by coincidence that he passed by. It's on purpose that he passed by. He saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we'll stop there for a minute. This is the key to understanding this passage. What Jesus said. He said, neither, in verse 3, neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's the reason that that man was there, and that's the reason that Jesus is going to do the work he was going to do. You could cross-reference that with Matthew 5 and verse 16. Maybe you know Matthew 5 and verse 16, but I'll read it to you in case you don't, because it speaks to what Christ is saying and what he wants to accomplish through this man. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And he says in verse 5 of John 9, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So what is he saying? He's saying that I am going to work in this man's life, and God's going to be manifest in him, and I'm going to shine forth in him, and men will see, and they will be drawn to God, and they will glorify God. And God wants for us to shine the light of Christ that is in us when we come to Christ. And by the life we live, that we will draw men to him. And that's the whole message. And so Christ is going to use this one blind man who is going to see not only physically, but in the end spiritually, to try to open the eyes of all the many blind people that are all around this place. And maybe you can identify with them. And maybe you ought to evaluate in your heart, do I see Jesus or am I blind? Do I have a clear picture so that Jesus shines forth in my life, so that men see my good works? Does the light of Jesus shine forth in me so that when people see me, they see Jesus and they say, there is God and I want Jesus. A week ago Saturday, we were getting ready to go out on visitation, ready to knock on doors, which is a good thing to do. And before we could go out, in walked a young man named Gabriel. And he was homeless. And I said to the pastor, I'm probably not going to go out. I need to talk to Gabriel. And I started talking to Gabriel, and before I found out about his homeless situation, I asked about his spiritual situation. And I said, Gabriel, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. And I said, could I show you how you could know for sure? And he said, yes. And I went through the gospel, and I said, Gabriel, does that make sense to you? And he said, yes. And I said, Gabriel, would you like to be saved? And he said, yes, I would. And he prayed, and he got saved. And there's no greater thrill than letting Jesus shine in your life. That was the work of Christ, not me. He was the one that drew Gabriel. He's the one that brought Gabriel. He's the one that told me. He's the one that gave me the words. My light was enough so that Gabriel could see Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. And so Jesus is going to use this blind man in all these people's lives to try to get to open their eyes. Wake up, open your eyes, see. That's what he says. That's the key. And so we're going to see the many blind people and why they were blind. And so the first bunch of blind people we see are the disciples. Because look in chapter 9 in verses 1 and 2. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, to the average Jewish person, that was a normal question. You know, like in the book of Job, when Job's friends came, Job had suffered so much. It was just assumed that he had been a wicked person because God only punishes wicked people. But you know, there's a lot of reasons you suffer, folks. Yes, the wicked do suffer. Sometimes you suffer because you're living for the Lord and the devil doesn't like it, like with Job, and so he sends affliction. Sometimes you suffer so God wants you to be strong and he wants you to be patient. Doesn't he say that? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, for the trying of faith worketh patience. Sometimes you suffer so you can be an example to others. There's a lot of reasons you suffer. And so they were blind because of their ignorance. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Those disciples often were blinded by their ignorance. In fact, that most of the time they walked around like, I don't understand, Lord. I don't get it, Lord. What's going on, Lord? You know, and I'm so glad the Lord is patient. I've walked around many times like that. Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it. What's going on, Lord? You ever been that way with the Lord? It's like, what's going on? I haven't figured it out yet, Lord. And yet he's patiently, and so he's going to do this thing with the blind man so his disciples will see beyond their own selves. Because he's been telling them and showing them, and they still haven't got it. You know, like it's like in John chapter 14 later on, he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he talks about, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He says in verse 7 of John 14, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, Show us the Father. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And I'm surprised Jesus didn't go, wow. You know? He doesn't do that. He knows our state, that we're weak and we're limited. But Jesus says to Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? How can you even say that, Philip? I mean, weren't you there when I fed the 5,000? Weren't you there when I did all this and that? Turned the water into wine? Weren't you there when I raised Lazarus from the dead? Where were you? Sleeping? How much more do I have to do, Philip? That's pretty ignorant, you know? And they were pretty ignorant. Sometimes ignorance is not a good excuse. And Jesus is trying to wake them up from their ignorance. But praise the Lord, eventually those disciples did, because after the resurrection, they finally saw, because they were changed. And when we see Jesus clearly, I mean clearly, it transforms us. I am excited to share Jesus. I love Jesus. And I'm glad that Jesus is my Savior. And I don't want anything else but Jesus. And I don't want the world or the things of the world. They don't attract me whatsoever. Because Jesus is everything. And if you don't see that, maybe you're like the disciples. But when you go over to Acts chapter 4, these old disciples, Peter and John had went in the temple, and they, through the power of Christ, in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, raised the lame man. They'd healed the lame man. And so they were preaching in the temple, and the religious leaders, they didn't like it, so they put him in prison overnight, and then the next morning they brought him out there, out before him, and they brought him out and questioned him, you know, in chapter 4, the Sadducees didn't like what they said, because they preached the resurrection, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection because they were sad, you see. You know, that's what you always say. And the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, so they were fair, you see. You know, that's how you distinguish them. Anyway, they laid hands on him and they put him in prison, and they brought him before the high priest. And they set him in the midst. And in chapter 4, they asked him in verse 7, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. He had said that in John 14. They didn't get it in John 14 when he said it. But here they got it. Their eyes were open. They were no longer blind in their ignorance. They fully understood. Yes, Jesus is the only way. We saw him raised. We know he's the answer. If you don't know that, you're lost. You need Christ. Come to Christ. And he said, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, and I like this, and ignorant men, they perceived them to be unlearned and ignorant. They marveled. They said, how can these ignorant, uneducated doofuses do this? They marveled, and then it says, look, verse 13, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the key. You got to be with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, in fellowship with him, in communion with him, in walking with him, in prayer to him, in his word, the more you see and the more you understand and the more you want to be like him and the more Christ shines forth in you. They said, oh, we understand because they've been with Jesus. So they were ignorant, but their eyes got open. So Jesus was speaking to them with this blind man. So let's go back to John chapter 9. And so he tells his disciples this. He says, listen, I'm the light of the world. And I'm going to, this man, it wasn't because of his parents' sin. It wasn't because of his sin. It was so that God's works will be manifest in him, and I'm the light of the world. That's why. And so now I'm going to show you. And look at verses 6 and 7. And when he thus had thus spoken, in John chapter 9, verse 6, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way thereof, and he washed, and he came seeing. Now that's a really strange thing for Jesus to do. Because Jesus could have just said, see. Because he's God in the power of his word. You say, why in the world was Jesus trying to do? Because he's communicating the message of people seeing through the blind man the works God manifested in the works, his works in the blind man. And he was speaking specifically to those religious leaders, which we're going to get to. Because the religious leaders had their rules, their regulations, their rituals. And they had twisted and perverted the law to such an extent that they made it impossible for anybody to fulfill. They had something like 613 commandments of the law. And they said one of the commandments, one of the rules was that if you spit on the ground and you spit on a rock, it was okay. But if you spit on the ground and made mud, you know, your spit, your saliva happened to hit dirt and it made some mud, that was working. And if you did it on the Sabbath day, boy, that was a no-no. And so Jesus purposely, on purpose, did this. He took some spittle, spit it in the dirt, and put it in the man's eyes. You say, that's not very clean. That's not sanitary. No, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And it was on the Sabbath day. And these were that was the constant complaint of the religious leaders. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath day. He was doing healing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus purposely did it on the Sabbath day to try to open their eyes to say he was their Messiah. He was did it on purpose. Christ didn't do anything by accident. He had long planned to do this from eternity past. It was on purpose. And so he sent this man on purpose, knowing that he would be brought before the Pharisees, knowing they would question him, knowing that this would be a strange thing. Because Jesus is saying, I want you to see me. I want you to see God. I want you to see the work of God. That's what I've come to do. See. Have your eyes open. Don't be blind anymore. And let God work in your life. And so the blind man received his sight. And as we get to the end, we're going to see he not only received physical sight, he received spiritual sight. At first, he didn't really fully understand who it was that did this. He didn't really fully understand. He knew it was a man named Jesus, but he wasn't sure who Jesus was, and we're going to see that. So he went on his way, and we're going to touch on the blind man as we go through the text, as he comes in contact with these various blind people. So that we can see how he's going to manifest the works of God to these people. Because that's what God said. He said, I've chosen him that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That means made clear. So I'm going to use him in these various groups of blind people so that they can see God and therefore recognize that I'm their Savior. And so this blind man, without even recognizing it, is going to be used by God, by Jesus Christ, to try to open people's eyes. And so they're going on, and we go on through here. And we see in verses 8 through 10, we see the neighbors, and there were people all around. And they were blind because of unbelief. In verses 8 through 10, it says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is this not he which sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I'm he. Therefore they said unto him, how is it? They said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And then in verse 18, it says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And so there were people all around who were unbelieving. You probably heard the saying that seeing is believing. No, believing is not seeing. You know, faith is the, what's Hebrews 11:1 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you go over to John chapter 20, we have the story of doubting Thomas. And when Jesus appeared after his resurrection to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there at that first time. And then a few days later, Jesus came and appeared again. And Thomas had said in chapter 20 that he wasn't going to believe unless he could see the prints of the nails and touch him. And the side, he'd touch his side. And verse 24, it says of John 20, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Nope, I got to see it. I don't believe you. I'm not going to take your word for it. I don't care how many people tell me. Have you ever tried to witness somebody? You share the word of God. You say, this is what God's word said. Don't believe you. But this is the truth. I know it's the truth. God saved me. He changed me. I'm different. I don't believe you. You can't tell me. I know science. You can't tell me I'm smarter than God. No. Thomas, one of the disciples. I'm not going to believe unless I see. And so Jesus, 8 days later, comes and appears unto them and says, peace be unto you. Then he saith unto Thomas, in verse 27, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now notice the last part of verse 29. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. When you have trusted Christ, you are blessed. Just like Fanny Crosby, it was extra special to her to contemplate that even though she was blind physically, she saw her Savior. She recognized her Savior. Her eyes of faith were opened. And she knew the moment when she went to heaven, who he was, not just by his smiling face, but by the nails, the print. She knew what he had done for her. Likewise, all of us that believe on him are blessed. And so there were people there that didn't believe. No, that's not the guy. It's his twin, or it's just somebody that looks like the guy, or we don't really believe it. You know, it's some kind of trick. You can't possibly believe. And you know, the Jews were always asking for a sign, ask for a sign. And some people, no matter what you show them, they're going to believe. And they were blind because of their unbelief. John's gospel says 99 times that in order to be saved, you've got to believe. And that word belief means to be convinced of, persuaded of, and to put your trust in. My tie. You see my tie? Man in my church gave that. I often wear it. I probably wore it here the last time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not die, but have everlasting life. There it is. Believeth. Over and over and over again, John proclaimed that. You've got to believe. That means my eyes are completely open. I see clearly. I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. I have no doubts. Jesus is my Savior. I have no doubts, folks. Nope. No doubts. Once he saved me, he saved me. I'm secure. I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I am. I hope that you will. So there are people that are blind because of unbelief. Unbelief will keep people from heaven. is only as God works in their heart, and Jesus was trying to bring them. And then we come to the fourth group of blind people. Those were the Pharisees. They were blind because of their pride. Look in verse 13 of John chapter 9. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay, just like they said, and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto him, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Simple as that. Nothing more complicated than that. Jesus came along, told me, put clay on my eyes, and told me to go wash in this pool, and that's what I did. And afterwards, I could see. That's a pretty good deal there, huh? Man, I'd like to have that kind of deal, you know. Just simple. And they said, in verse 15, then the Pharisees, verse 16, then said some of the Pharisees, this man is not God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. You know, that was according to their twisted, perverted religious interpretation. Jesus didn't do it their way. He didn't do it according to their arrogant, self-centered way. He did it according to the truth in the Word of God. Because he had confirmed many times these Pharisees on the same thing. He would say things like, if you had your ox or your donkey fall into a ditch on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you rescue them, save them, and do and help them on the Sabbath day? Isn't it right to do good on the Sabbath day? And they would always come back with some smart aleck answer because they were so arrogant. They were so blinded by their pride. They would not even admit one time that Jesus was right and they were wrong. That's what a proud person is, an arrogant person. Even if they know that they are wrong, they will never admit it. And their pride will blind them. You have to humble yourself and ask forgiveness of your sins and repent of your sins and admit you're a sinner and come to Christ honestly and realize that he's the one that can save you. They wouldn't do that. And they were accusing him, and they went on, and they went on with this. In verse 16, there was division, and in verse 17, the blind man, he is an amazing witness, even though he doesn't fully, completely have all of the understanding yet. He's still an amazing witness. I love this blind man that now sees. He said, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thy eyes? He said, he's a prophet. That's pretty good. Yeah, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not concerning him, so forth, until they called the parents. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who was born blind? How he does now see? And his parents answered them, saying, we know that he is our son, and that he is born blind, but by what means he seeth, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He'll speak for himself. You know why they said that? Because they were afraid. That's what it says. Verse 22 says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews agreed already that any man did confess Jesus, that he was confessed that he was Christ, the Messiah, he should be put out of synagogue. That means shunned. That means ostracized. That means you would not be able to have any contact, communication, or fellowship with. In Los Angeles, in our first ministry, we met a Jewish lady who was a Christian, and she was dying, and she was telling us the story before she died about her family, how that she got saved. And when she got saved, as a Jewish person, her parents were Orthodox Jews, they had a funeral for her. And they actually had a tombstone with her name on it. Because to her, to them, she was dead because she became a Christian. They said, really, in this day and age? And she said, yeah. And that's what it meant to be put out of the synagogue. And his parents were afraid. They didn't want to say it was Jesus. They didn't want to say that it was the Messiah. They were afraid. Fear will keep you from doing what God says. Fear has kept me before from doing what God says. And I finally got to the point that says, yeah, I'm afraid of men, but I'm more afraid of God than I am men. And now I don't even pray. Hopefully I'm not afraid of men. I just got to the point. I'm so old now, if they want to pound me into the ground, okay, pound me in the ground, I guess. I'll go. I'm ready to go to heaven anyway. You know, what more can happen to me? This body's pretty well finished anyway, you know. It can't take much more, and if they blow on me, I'll probably just fall over, so, you know. What can they threaten me with? Heaven? Well, that's okay. We're going to kill you. Okay, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. So, you know, God gives us grace. But this parent said, we don't know who did it. We do know that he was blind and now he sees. And so the evidence is there. Just open your eyes. He was blind. He was blind, but now he sees. But we got to go on here. So we go on through this story. And we go down through here. Verse 24 says, then they called they, the man that was blind, they said to him, give God praise. Give God the praise. And the blind man's probably thinking, I already have. I already did give God the praise. What are you talking about? Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. And here again, here comes this little blind man that can now see, just giving out a word of witness without even realizing it, you know. So profound, he said, whether you be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And he said, on top of that, then he said unto him again, what did he? Then they said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and ye did not hear. Oh, not only were they blind, but they were deaf. You know why? Because they had their fingers in the air, their hands in their eyes, and they're going, they're not listening. They don't want to listen. They don't want to see. They're arrogant. They're proud. They don't want to. They don't want to see it. This is how he told you. He says, verse 27, wherefore, would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Do you want to be a disciple of this man? Is that why you're asking me?
Ooh, wow, wow, wow. Ooh, talk about getting somebody mad. Wow. He was perfectly innocent. He was just asking a sincere question. Are you asking because you're really interested in knowing? Did you just miss what I was saying? Did you just really want to try to understand? But boy, that made them angrier than ever. You see, when somebody does not receive the truth, and they reject the truth, they will be angry. They will not want the truth. I have had people get in my face about the gospel. I have had people get angry. I had one guy one time, and my wife can testify to this. We were young, and we were out door knocking, and knocked on this door, and this guy was intoxicated, and he came out, and I tried to give him a tract, and he grabbed my arm, and he said, "Do you know who my God is?" I said, "No." He said, "My God is Odin." And he said, "Do you know who Odin is?" And I said, "No, sir." And my wife's getting more concerned, and she's pulling my arm this way, and he's pulling my arm this way. And he says, "Odin is the Viking god of war, and he's my God." And we finally got away, and he didn't listen. And he didn't want it. I've had people crumble up the track and throw them, you know. These guys were getting mad. That's not why they were asking. They were trying to get this guy to deny what had happened, to try to deny Jesus. And the guy was not going to deny Jesus. He was not going to deny Jesus. Don't you ever deny Jesus. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But let's finish here. They reviled him in verse 28. "Thou art his disciple, we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." And then here again. The man answered and said unto them, verse 30, "Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but a man that is the worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." The evidence is even in the Old Testament scriptures. Said their Messiah would do these things. In Isaiah and other passages. But the blind man, he's not educated. He hasn't had sabbatical school. He hasn't gone through their theological training. Yet he can say, "Common sense tells me this." He has to be from God. It has to be. But they're so blinded by their arrogance and their pride. Verse 34, "And they answered and said to him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and thou dost teach us? And they cast him out." So he was cast out of the synagogue. No, everybody's going to shun him. Everybody's going to have nothing. It's not supposed to have anything to do with this man. He's going to be an outcast. He's going to be a pariah. Worse than a leper. All because he simply maintained the truth. All because he simply was telling the truth. And they didn't want the truth. Isn't it amazing, folks? All we're trying to do is tell people the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That's the truth. There's no other truth than that. That's all we're trying to do. We want you to go to heaven with us. This blind man was just simply telling him what happened. And so they cast him out. And then Jesus comes to him. As we close, verse 35, Jesus heard that he had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with me. And now he fully sees, not only physically, but spiritually. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And he worshiped him. His eyes were open. What a story, folks. Wow. Are your eyes open? Jesus is the light of the world. Do you see it? If you do, does he shine forth in you so others will see it? That's what he wants. Let us pray together. Father,